likely to see more extreme events, more floods and droughts in the future. So this event was caused by rainfall, for sure. It's always hard to pin that event was climate change, but for sure in the future, we're bound to see more events like this and even worse due to climate change. So there's a direct link. Now, in addition to that, who bears the brunt of that climate change? It is the poor people, as we saw in the most recent floods. Those poor people are the ones who are really not the ones who are emitting greenhouse gases into the world, but they're the ones that have to bear the burden. Finally, you know, it's a driver of human mobility, of people movement, of migration from the region. So we'll see all kinds of knock-on effects from this kind of flood event.
Now, you are in Nepal right now, but you've just come back from the United States. Your thoughts on President Trump, a well-known climate change denier, proud climate change denier, as, you know, as Hurricane Irma was pummeling the Caribbean heading to the U.S. last week, and Houston was underwater. He was in Mandan, North Dakota, in front of a refinery, celebrating the fact he'd pulled the country out of the Paris Climate Accord.
Well, that pulling out of the Paris Climate Accord is certainly bad news for our region. Like I said, it's already impacted by climate change. I feel very much we have a global responsibility to put actions in place to prepare for climate change, and of course, actions to actually slow it down. So what we do need is the world coming together, and Paris was doing that for us, and people in the mountains we're very much behind the Paris Accord and even wanted more than we're seeing. So I feel that if there's any message, yes, please, let's get back in the game.
We have 10 seconds. The U.S., the historically greatest greenhouse gas emitters, responsibility you feel to where you are in Nepal. 10 seconds.
Yes. Yes. The people who are emitting greenhouse gases are indeed impacting glaciers, impacting the weather system in Nepal. So there is a shared responsibility to do something about that.
David Mulvan, we'll talk again. Director General of the International Center for Integrated Mountain Development in Kathmandu, Nepal. That does it for the show. Democracy Now! Co-host Juan Gonzalez speaking in Austin tonight. Check our website. And a very happy birthday to Sam Alkaff. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
WHFR Dearborn.
The WHFR annual record show is just around the corner, and we are accepting applications for vendors. Our 10th annual record show is taking place on Saturday, October 21st, on the campus of Henry Ford College, and this is your chance to be part of it. If you're a vendor selling tapes, CDs, or vinyl records, or if you have other related items such as memorabilia or handcrafted goods, then you too can set up a shop for a day at this very popular and well-attended event. All the information, including a copy of the vendor contract, is available on our website, whfr.fm. Just click on the record show icon for all the information. If you have any questions, you can email us at whfr@hfcc.edu. The WHFR Annual Record Show is Saturday, October 21st, so reserve your vendor table now.
The following program has been pre-recorded. The views and opinions expressed on the new WHFR Journal are those of the hosts, producers, and guests, not necessarily those of WHFR, its licensee, Henry Ford College, or its Board of Trustees. Enjoy.
Welcome. Welcome to this pre-recorded interview edition of the WHFR Journal. I'm Susan McGraw, along with Alan Mazurek. Alan, hello, and how are you, my dear?
wonderful to be here this this afternoon and back with another new WHFR Journal.
That's right, the new WHFR Journal, as we like to call it. We are excited that you've tuned in today, and boy, talk about culture and the arts. That's the subject of this first discussion that we're going to get very deeply into as it relates to ways that you can experience, enjoy, and appreciate some of our local talent on a number of levels. So joining me in studio at this time here at WHFR is, first of all, Steve Glazer. He is the head of our ceramics department and very involved as coordinator, and he does just about everything as it relates to the end result that you see if you attend our Sisson Gallery exhibits. We welcome Steve here. Thank you for being here today, Steve.
How do you do? And thank you for having me here.
Pleasure. And we also have, if you don't know her voice, you should. She is the longtime supporter for the arts here in Dearborn on so many levels, Ms. Emma Jean Woodyard, representing today not only the community of artisans and art lovers here in Dearborn, but also the Dearborn Community Fund. And we'll talk a little bit about that as well. So welcome, Emma Jean. Great to see you.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Steve, let's start with the exhibit that we've got at the gallery. It's ready to go. I've seen it. We've had the pleasure of having students come in and see it.
About a week.
We're really, really excited. This is different. It's unique. But first, let's get into the nuts and bolts of this exhibit. What was the purpose of it, and why should people attend?
It's a graffiti / street art exhibition, which is usually not inside environment, and especially not at a school environment. And I guess for its background, I've been a lover of graffiti art since I first learned about it in the late 70s when I was in graduate school with artists like Keith Haring and Jean-Michel Basquiat, and I think it's Sumo and some others that were around New York City, just from an art history teacher when I was at Indiana State. And then when I started going to New York periodically, it's like just loved looking at the subway cars that were painted and stuff. And so I've always wanted to do an exhibition of graffiti art. And part of it is this whole challenge of, as I've taught art history over the years off and on, it's like things change when they are put into an academic environment. People look at them differently. And it's just like, things in other fields, it's like when you say, oh, you're teaching a class on that now? Mm-hmm. So it's all of a sudden, it's gone through this metamorphosis from being out there to being part of this educational realm.
It kind of legitimizes the medium a little,
exactly,
if you will. Gives it some roots
that's
or
exactly.
some legs.
And so my question has been, how would people react to a graffiti art or street art exhibition in an academic gallery? And I've also wanted to do it. And about 6-8 months ago, Emma Jean Woodyard and I were talking about Dearborn Homecoming, and she mentioned that there was an artist that had just moved to Dearborn who wanted to be involved in homecoming and do something with this type of art at homecoming. And my immediate reaction was, I want to put the results in the Sisson Gallery, because this is something I've wanted to do. Mm-hmm. I've tried to make the connections with a couple other galleries in Metro Detroit, and people have said, oh, I think I could hook you up, and it never materialized. And so this happened.
Wow.
And it was something I've been wanting to do for years.
He doesn't sound excited, does he, Imogen?
No, not much. You know, it was a perfect coming together of an opportunity that was right there. And I had the pleasure of meeting Sunshine Durant. She herself is a street artist, but a fine artist as well. And Steve mentioned she moved to Dearborn a couple of years ago, and she made the mistake of saying to me, I really want to be involved in the community. Oh, well, have we got a job for you? It was pretty much how it went. But she was key in terms of getting the project started. As Steve mentioned, it was introduced at Dearborn Homecoming in August. We had no way of knowing how it would go, how it would be received. We didn't personally know these artists. The one thing that we kept repeating over and over again, whatever the subject matter, it needs to be family friendly and welcoming. And I was assured that that would happen, and it did. it did. It turned out that it was a real interesting experience, both from our side as the organizer and also from the public side, because everybody loves to see the process. Mm-hmm. And the fact that these artists were there, they were very outgoing and talk, you know, they would talk to our visitors and share information and so on, made it even better.
Mm. Well, let's break it down a little bit. And I should mention, please note that the art gallery that we're talking about is not some exclusive place in downtown Detroit that you have to book an opportunity to go to see and pay hundreds of dollars to get into. This is the Sisson Gallery right here on our campus at Henry Ford College. It is open. It is free to the public as well as our student community. And so this is something that while you're hearing it, thinking, oh, yeah, it sounds interesting, but I don't ever get an opportunity. It's right here in our backyard. So we'll talk more about hours and so on, mm-hmm. Steve, but I just wanted to make note of that. But getting down to the nuts and bolts of the actual situation, when an event like this is going to happen, we have the live component of it, the actual creation of the art, and then we have the exhibition of the art. I would guess it would be very important for both sides to work collectively to make sure that you're presenting it on the right kind of media that you so you can mm-hmm. physically eventually, you know, exhibit it and so on. But what about the decision of who was exactly going to participate, how many you were going to do, how long you were going to give the artists, how big they were allowed to be, that kind of stuff? Because I know walking around at homecoming, this Dearborn homecoming just in August, not that long ago, like you said, watching the process was so cool. But who made all those decisions and how did that whole thing come together? Because this is really not something that's typically done.
It was a joint effort, I think, on all three of
us. It really was.
Each of us had a different idea in one way or another, but they came together. And
I think as far as, if I could interject, the nuts and bolts of it, in other words, all of the pieces are done on 4x8 sheets of plywood. Mm-hmm. And that was, again, Sunshine, who was the field coordinator, Sunshine Durant. It was her recommendation. And so the community fund partners with the city on homecoming. We went out and bought all the supplies, the boards, the primer paint, found a place where they could be primed and delivered to the field so that the artists could arrive on Friday of homecoming. They brought their paints because we didn't know what kind of paint they were going to use necessarily. They knew what they wanted to do. They were given a space against a tree. They took their 4x8 sheet of plywood and off they went, and it was theirs from there on in. Mm-hmm. You know, again, we were just really mostly concerned about subject matter, that we wouldn't be, there would be nothing offensive, and there wasn't. They were all great. It was really interesting because, again, as Steve mentioned, street art, and there's some great street art out there. If you ride around town and you look and is not recognized a lot of times as legitimate. And one of the things that's so cool about having the exhibit at the Sisson Gallery is this legitimizes these artists. To be in a gallery and then part of it, and Steve will elaborate on this later, to be going into other galleries as a result of what we're doing here at the Sisson is a pretty amazing thing for these artists, many of whom are struggling to become known, really. So to put on their credentials that, you know, I've had an exhibit in the Sisson, I've had an exhibit.
You've been part of that, and it's traveled to several other schools, which this is going to do.
Very good. We're proud to say one of the pieces was created by one of our volunteer staff members here at WHFR Radio, actually. Mr. Michael Hayball has a piece in the show, and so that's very exciting. Very cool. And he just can't stop talking about what
See, and I didn't know that. And
pretty good stuff.
Another one of the pieces is by a person who I had in class a couple years ago, and didn't even realize at jury time that her piece was a winner.
Fantastic.
So that was really neat.
Yeah. Well, what I'd like to do as we continue to learn more about not only opportunities to see this particular exhibit, and what is the title of the exhibit?
First of all, the event was Paint Out in the Park. Mm-hmm. That was at Dearborn Homecoming, but taking it inside to the gallery, I labeled it Tag You're It outside art moves in. The idea of the word tag from like when you play tag as a kid, but also that graffiti artists and street artists, when they paint something, they're tagging it, especially when you sign your name. That's your tag. And so it's then bringing something often looked at as illegit into the academic environment, outside art moves in.
Nice. Very nice. We're going to come back in just a moment, learn more about ways that our listeners can actually come in and experience this firsthand, and then also other opportunities, what's happening with the Dearborn Community Fund, and what we can be excited to look forward to. So stay with us. This is the new WHFR Journal. Steve Glazer and Emma Jean Woodyard in our discussion today. I'm Susan McGraw, along with Alan Mazurek, and we'll be right back to talk more. Tag, you're it.
Hi, I'm Julie Bates, and I'm an ovarian cancer survivor. September is Ovarian Cancer Awareness Month. Saturday, September 16th, the Michigan Ovarian Cancer Alliance is sponsoring its sixth annual awareness event at the Village of Rochester Hills. Our event is called Wheels and Teal and is a combination 5K run, walk, and car show. We expect about 60 teal and turquoise cars from the 50s and 60s. We'd love to have you join us on Saturday, September 16th. To register or for more information, go to wheelsandteal.com. Online registration for the run walk is open now through Friday, September 15th. We also accept same-day registrations, or you're welcome to come just for the cars. For more information about the Michigan Ovarian Cancer Alliance, go to mioca.org.
Thanks for staying with us. Susan McGraw here, along with Alan Mazurek, enjoying a lovely edition of the new WHFR Journal. Alan, we're learning about a variety of topics, more to come later in the show as well. But when we talk about art and culture and students, oftentimes people have an expectation that there's going to be a level of quality that is not necessarily up to par with other you know, professional galleries and non-student professional artist works and so on. But have you had a chance to see this exhibit yet?
I have indeed, and I already know which of the pieces there caught my eye the quickest. Mm. And I can definitely guarantee you that these are some very skilled artists who, you know, I'm sure practice their trade in a number of different ways and a number of different mediums, but also just to be given this opportunity to take the creative process out in public is one great aspect of this. And then also, as you had mentioned, the idea of bringing what is thought of as outside art into the gallery setting is just amazing. And Tag, you're right, it's kind of like the reverse of what the DIA has been doing with the Inside Out, which is taking fine art and putting it out in the community where people can experience it in a different way.
So. Yeah. Steve, tell us a little bit more about that, about the process of getting in to see the exhibit and then what's going to happen once it closes here at our Humboldt College.
The exhibition is open 4 days a week, usually, the Assistant Gallery. Monday through Thursday. Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, it's open from 9 a.m. to 4:30. And on Wednesday, it stays open from 9 a.m. till 8 p.m. Now, we're doing pretty good with work-study students right now. So it's like, because sometimes if a work-study student, and we have more than one in the gallery most of the time, if no one's there, I can't open the gallery. It's a security issue. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But knock on wood, though I'm not supposed to knock in here, it's been open pretty consistently. And then one Saturday a month, it's open, or I try to be here. I will be here actually this Saturday, the 16th, from 10 to 3, sitting in the gallery. So if anyone wants to come by, make my day a little bit more interesting, because if not, I'm going to sit there with my tablet and or read a book, okay. But come by.
Great.
This exhibition is open through the 28th, mm-hmm. and it may go into a little bit of the following week because we have, on October 5th, Discovery Day, mm-hmm. and they asked me to keep the gallery open for that. There is a reception for any of the artists that dare show up, and I say that because there are some of the pieces, if you go through the gallery, don't have names, they have monikers, because these artists don't want their names public for various reasons. But I'm hoping that some of them show up. The reception is Monday. It's coming up September 18th from 4:30 to 7 p.m.
Okay. When someone attends a reception at a gallery, what should they expect? For a listener that's just, I don't know exactly what you mean.
If you've never been,
reception,
you just come as you are. We're informal. We try to have coffee, cookies, a little bit of refreshment, and come in and look around. Hopefully see something that you haven't seen. Hopefully experience something that will, maybe you go home. If you go home and say to someone else, I keep thinking about something I saw, then I've done my job. I figure it's changed a moment of your life. You're thinking about it beyond being in that room. And if that happens, then I think the gallery serves its purpose.
Nice.
And we do three professional shows each school year, and then a graduating student show at the end of each semester, and then a large student show about two-thirds of the way through winter semester.
Very nice. So again, the grand opening for the exhibit, or the reception, if you will, for the exhibit, I should say, on the 16th, the Saturday, 10 a.m.
No,
that's right. You're going to be here on the 16th.
I will be there the 16th.
That's right. I mixed that up. On the 18th, you said from 4:30?
4:30 till 7.
So you're opening that a little earlier. Your receptions are a little later.
They used to be 6 to 8, and I had some faculty members say, it's like, you know, I don't want to hang around, and some staff members. So it's like, okay, the offices on campus close at 4:30, and therefore, come on over and have a cup of coffee on us. Yeah, look around.
Nice.
So that's why we changed the time.
Great.
And also, we get people hopefully going to their evening classes that are willing to hang around at the end of the day classes.
Nice. Okay. So this Monday night, 4:30 to 7, the reception and an opportunity to have a cup of coffee, a cookie, maybe talk to some of the artists themselves.
Hopefully talk to some of the artists, or come by and tell me you like it, or even if you don't like it and why.
Yeah. Nice.
I'd like to hear that.
Excellent. This is, of course, an educational institution,
right?
So we're always building and growing and tweaking things. Wonderful.
And then this exhibition is going to travel to four other schools in the state. It will be at Grand Rapids Community College in February, and then at Delta College in March and April. And then the following January, it will be at Albion College for 2 months, and then at Muskegon Community College for 2 months.
Wow. That's rare, isn't it?
It's something. I like doing that type of thing. It's like, I'm an organizer. I have a couple of artist friends that say, well, it's like, yeah, you're a visionary. So, and not trying to brag or anything, but it's like, yeah, it goes along with, like, now being, I guess, chair over there. So it's like, I like trying to figure out how to do things. I don't like writing, but I like thinking about, okay, can we do this? Let's try.
Good. And you're clearly succeeding. Yeah.
That's what
I try. So the more sets of eyes we get on work like this, the better for everybody.
Yeah.
I would say that's probably the goal.
That is. It's like get people to come in, get people to see it. And also, as it travels, hopefully Henry Ford College gets some recognition for, that we started it. Mm-hmm. We're the ones that put it on the road.
Very nice. So thanks so much. This is a lot of hard work, Steve. So if you can't attend the opening, or the reception on Monday evening, Steve is going to be here Saturday between 10 and 3, the 16th.
10 and 3.
And so we want to keep him from reading the book. We want to have him engaged with you. So stop into the Sisson Gallery. Exactly where will we find it here on our campus?
It is in Building F, the McKenzie Fine Arts Center, right in the middle of the building. If you come in from the doors that face the center of campus, you walk in, you turn to the right, it's right there. If you come in the doors off the parking lot, you come in from the circle and the circle drive, you go into the doors there, you make a right, and it's right halfway down the hallway.
Excellent. Well, we are going to talk a little more about the one of the sponsors or organizers, co-organizers of this particular wonderful collective in just a moment. And that's Emma Jean Woodyard. A little more about the Dearborn Community Fund coming up in just a minute. So stay with us, the new WHFR Journal, and we'll be right back.
You never asked me what my favorite piece from the exhibit was.
I thought you were going to keep it a secret. Tell you what, hold that thought. We'll answer that question in 60 seconds.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. This cat makes me make art. He's always motivating me to draw pictures of him. He just is motivating artistically. He's my best friend, but a lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
Keyboard Cat, YouTube star and shelter pet. Amazing adoption stories start in shelters. Start yours today. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Do you enjoy listening to a wide variety of jazz music, featuring some of your favorite classic to contemporary artists? Then why not start your weekend off by tuning in to the Jazz Horizon Show with yours truly, Earl Jones, your host, each and every Friday evening from 8 until 10 p.m. right here on WHFR 89.3 FM, the station that's making waves. That's the Jazz Horizon Show, every Friday evening from 8 until 10, with real jazz for your ears, listening pleasure.
The following program has been pre-recorded. The views and opinions expressed on the new WHFR Journal are those of the hosts, producers, and guests, not necessarily those of WHFR, its licensee, Henry Ford College, or its Board of Trustees. Enjoy.
Hi.
And we continue with our discussion on the new WHFR Journal. Susan McGraw here, along with Alan Mazurek. And Alan, we had that cliffhanger before the before the break, and also joined with Steve Glazer and Emma Jean Woodyard. We're talking about this wonderful graffiti or street art exhibit here at Henry Ford College. Tag, you're it. And the second line, Steve, again, of the second part of the title.
Outside art moves in.
Outside art moves in. I knew it was something like that. I wanted to get it right. So, Alan, you were going to share your favorite piece.
Well, indeed. And as Stephen had mentioned, it's hard to miss these artworks. These are actually quite large. They're, what did you say, the pieces of plywood were about 8 feet
They're
by 4 feet?
4 foot by 8 foot.
So it's pretty hard to miss them. And one of the first things you'll see as you walk into the door to the gallery on the opposite wall is a picture of an astronaut. Can't really tell if he has glass on the front of his helmet, who appears to be smoking a cigarette, which is wrong in so many ways,
yeah.
Given the environment and given the nature of the habit itself, I guess. But it's just a great juxtaposition of an image. It's very striking. I believe the artist's name I looked at it was Joe Hosler. So a shout out to one of my Wyandotte folks. That's where I live. So yeah.
Nice. Well, I'll tell you, I'm thrilled with all of them. I'm going to say one of my top favorites is the very simplistic one with the evergreens, and then we have the painted sky and the green blue, and then the sort of the reddish pink. Yeah, there it is right there. I'm looking at, and then we have what I'm thinking is a large deer or an elk off in the distance, and I just think it's lovely. I don't know what it's entitled, but I just absolutely love it. So that's very pretty. How about you, Emma Jean?
Oh, I'm torn. Every time I look at them, I pick a different one. Mm-hmm. But the one that looks to me like a cluster of grapes, you know, the detail and the refinement of it for street art is pretty amazing. So I tend to gravitate toward that one.
Steve, how about you?
And, you know, I'm going to comment first. Mm. Do you guys realize that you both chose a piece by the same artist?
Really?
Yes.
That says
same
something right there.
Great minds think alike, don't they?
Well, I have two favorites, and there's a story behind the jurying of it, because it was a people's choice and a juror's choice, and I was one of three jurors for it. The other two were Russell Jones, who's one of the art history faculty members at Henry Ford College, who did his master's thesis on graffiti art, and the third gentleman was
Robert Curtis, who was an art educator. He's still very active in the National Art Education Association. The National sits on the board. Mm.
So we were at a point where we couldn't decide which of two pieces, and so we split the award. Mm. And so those two pieces are my favorites. One is sort of a lighthouse, but it's very graphic. And the person goes by K Kitchen Art. And this, I know his name, but he wants to go by that moniker. So that's what I'm going to say. And the other piece is the person goes by the monitor Tidy Mind. And I know who that person's work is. And I did not know this at all when I chose it as one of my favorites as a juror, but it was someone who I had in class 2 years ago. And it was like, that's really yours? So that was really cool.
Nice, nice. Well, just by our descriptive choices alone, I think our listeners can understand the variety of what they're going to see at this exhibit. Mm-hmm. So we really do encourage you to come on out. You've got still a couple of weeks,
I think. It's open through the 28th, but it will probably be open informally, meaning that it's 5 gallery sitters, which I expect it will be open through the 5th.
Great. Right. Dearborn Community Fund. Emma Jean, you have played a major role in the arts in Dearborn for as long as I can remember. A little bit of a history or backstory about the Community Fund itself and what role that you play now with the organization and what role the organization plays in supporting not only art but also so many different other areas as it relates to making this Dearborn community as great as it can be.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you very much. The Dearborn Community Fund was actually started in the year 2000, and it had a purpose in mind at that time. It was to help offset the building costs for the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center. So it was all about raising money to help, you know, complete that project, which of course we know it was done. It's been open now for 16 years and has on average about 600,000 people a year come through the doors, either to use the fitness areas or to go to the theater or the gallery or to have events there. So it's become a very, very key place.
Like our actual college graduation ceremonies here for Henry Ford College.
Just one of many.
Yes,
one
absolutely.
Of many. Moving on from there, the direction of the Community Fund at this point is to promote and support to the best of our ability arts, culture, recreation, and some social programming that impact the quality of life in Dearborn. Now, it's a pretty broad statement, and I have to be honest, we struggle to keep up with it sometimes because it's all about money, so we're always looking, you know, for sponsors and people that will support what we do. I mentioned earlier that one of the big projects that we're involved in is as a partner with the City of Dearborn for Dearborn Homecoming every year. And some people will ask, why homecoming? It's just a big party. It's a festival. Well, our rationale for joining in on that was that homecoming from day one, and this was the 38th year for the event, homecoming from day one was all about raising funds for nonprofits. And so if you attend the event, you know that many of the food booths, all of the food booths, for example, are run by nonprofits, and there are a few others scattered around. So it's a very, very important event. So we think that that is well worth our time and our effort. The other thing that we do is we look at programming needs and have developed some programs over the years, certainly two. I'll mention two at this point. One is the April Arts Month, which we launched last April and expect to have up again and running this April. And the purpose behind that is to just remind our community and the surrounding area about everything that we have going on culturally. Come on down and enjoy it, whether it be a symphony concert, or it'd be gallery exhibitions. As a matter of fact, we have a whole subcommittee of the Arts Dearborn now, which is all about the galleries in town, because we have eight gallery options for people to come into Dearborn for. Basically, admission to them is free, and the exhibits are great, and we want to call more attention to that. We have a world-class symphony, as you know, starting its 56th year, and they have programming in April. The Youth Arts Festival takes place in April at the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center. So April is a really big month, and we focused in on it to kind of shine the spotlight on Dearborn during that time. The second project that we're very proud of, and this is probably, I'm trying to think now, this is about the 7th year for it. It's called the Pop Design Team, Pockets of Perception, We Are One Community. where we focus on high school students, usually in their junior year. We bring through an application process, we form a team who the bottom line basic reason for it is to address issues of cultural diversity, but it's through art, where they have to come together as a team, develop a project, see it through, and in the end, they develop a piece that will become a permanent part of the community. So far, we've successfully completed three teams, and we're getting ready to select team number four, who will be working on a mural project in the East Dearborn downtown area. So those are two things that, you know, we've been behind for a number of years and are really proud of.
Wow. Members of the Dearborn Community Fund include, in terms of the variety of people that are supporting and contributing to this organization, what would you say?
Well, that's an upward battle. Let me put it that way. And so we're continually looking for ways to connect with local businesses, local funders, sponsors. Of course, we do some grant writing. We generally try to have one major fundraiser every year in order to support, you know, the various projects that we do. And, you know, I'll be honest, it's a struggle because we're the new kids on the block. There have been a lot of other worthwhile organizations, service clubs, whatever, that do fundraising too, that, you know, have been around longer than we have. So we're still building our case, and we manage to get the work done every year. But working on projects like the homecoming, where we get to do interesting things like the Tag Your It, and see that come to fruition, engage more people involved in the arts, you know, that brings us a lot of satisfaction.
Nice. For a listener that's interested in learning more about what's involved with the organization, participating in a volunteer capacity, or maybe somebody feels like writing a quick little check.
Oh, what that would be nice.
Or a quick big check, yeah.
A quick big check, quick little check. We'll take them all. We do have a website, which is DearbornCommunityFund.org. We have a Facebook page as well. You'll find us on Facebook. And our office is located in the theater wing at the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center. And I'd like to quickly point out that we are not the city. We work with the city and for the city. But it just so happens that our office is there. So that it can get a little confusing mm-hmm. for some.
Good. Thank you for the mm-hmm. clarification. Again, DearbornCommunityFund.org. Right. .org. Okay, great. Thank you so much. And Steve, contact in case somebody wants to learn more about Tag Your It.
The
Sisson
Gallery
yeah.
is on the web at sisson.hfcc.edu.
Very good. We thank you both for shedding some exciting light on what we can actually participate in literally today if we want to. And it's not only organizations like the Dearborn Community Fund, but also partnerships with entities like our own Sisson Gallery that really brings this stuff to the forefront of our community. So thank you both for great time and effort, and we wish you continued success, much success at the reception. I'll see you there, Steve.
Okay.
And
great.
We look forward to learning more about the wonderful creative works that both of you are doing in the future.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We'll be back with more at WHFR Journal, the new WHFR Journal. I'm Susan McGraw, along with Alan Mazurek, and we've got more to come. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Bill Keith, host of Light from the Underground, and I'm a volunteer DJ.
Hi, this is Lynn, host of No Boys Allowed, and I am a volunteer DJ.
Hi, this is Pat Frisco from the Spirits Rejoice program, and I am a volunteer DJ.
This is Earl Jones, host of Jazz Horizons, and I am a volunteer DJ.
Hey, this is Chelsea Marie, host of Dinner with Chelsea, and all of us DJs here at WHFR volunteer our time so that we can bring you independent, commercial-free radio. Thank you for listening and supporting our station.
Tune in to WHFR.FM 89.3 for the Highway 61 program. Fridays 2 till 4, DJ Kitty Love will play the best in blues with new blues releases, as well as local blues artists. Friday 2 till 4 on the station Making Waves, WHFR.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've accidentally cut your daughter's bangs unevenly. Do you A, line things up a centimeter from her hairline?
Man, oh man, oh
Oh, man.
No. Sweatbands are so hot right now. Everyone's wearing them. Like that basketball player and that other basketball player.
B, get spiritual.
Mom, where did all the mirrors go?
A reflection could never capture our true selves.
Huh?
Beauty is within.
C, look on the bright side.
Less time blow drying, more time texting.
Or D, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have
Ta-da! Twinsies!
I kinda love it. As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
The following program has been pre-recorded. The views and opinions expressed on the new WHFR Journal are those of the hosts, producers, and guests, not necessarily those of WHFR, its licensee, Henry Ford College, or its Board of Trustees. Enjoy.
Thanks for staying with us on the new WHFR Journal, our weekly take on what's happening in our Dearborn Heights community, our college community, and really a sort of community at large, if you will, the human community. How's that, Alan? Some of this stuff happens from town to town. It looks a little different, sounds a little different, but often and hopefully in most cases all for the cause. We have, speaking of shedding the light on things, I don't know how often you drive along Beach Daily in the Dearborn Heights area, but they've got some new street lights planned, and they're going to be the new LED kind, which we know are really sort of popping in different communities here, and
yes. We're
starting to see that transition, which is really nice. And in the past several weeks, crews from DTE have already been replacing the existing LED lights along Beach Daily between Annapolis and Van Bourne with the newer high efficiency visual
LEDs.
Yeah,
right.
They look so cool. I don't know what it is, why we're not turning these over more quickly. I'm sure funding is involved, but it's exciting to see that they're creeping into different communities now. And we've got some going on in Dearborn Heights. So that's always exciting. And we also know that when it comes to opportunities to replace older model lights. Oftentimes funds are created through different grants and so on. And this one was actually funded by the, an organization designed to promote energy efficiency and so on. So it's not always just a financial decision, but it's also a future for our children. Let's not use as much energy as we have been, kind of a thing. So new LED lights are planned for installation in other areas of the city. And I'm most excited because Ford and Telegraph is where they're going to start bringing
in. It's a major intersection.
Yes, it is. We know we've got a lot of construction at the Ford Telegraph area. They've been really working the under the ground kind of stuff, and I know even the ramp right now off of Telegraph to Ford Road there is even closed, so it's quite difficult. But the expectation is that those lights are going to be flipped over to the new LEDs, which is very cool. I know I should be doing that in my home. I have a couple lights, the light bulbs that
we've
I've
been
changed,
doing the process. But we're finally getting to the point where some of the CFL bulbs that we put in 5-6 years ago when we made that conversion are starting to age and need to be replaced. And it's been sort of a slow, gradual transition. And especially, I mean, nowadays, if you're into these kinds of things, the color temperature of the LED lights is much more appealing. When they first came out, they seemed to have a lot of blue to their whiteness, and now it seems to have a little more natural, I guess, or what we consider to be natural, meaning that we all grew up with the old incandescent light bulbs, which have a reddish hue to them, and they supposedly last quite a long time,
yeah.
So they're saying. So,
very cool. Well, yeah. we'll see how that goes. I know that when we talk about different opportunities to make a difference in our own home, our own hometown, etc., we have to certainly remember that there are almost too many different things going on for any one person to fund or support. You know, we know that that's the case. And talking to Emma Jean, working with the Dearborn Community Fund, etc., I know everybody's struggling, everybody's looking to keep positive things going on in our communities, but oftentimes, and I've heard people say this, they pick their top three for a year, their top three things that they want to either volunteer with, contribute financially with, or just help be a mouthpiece for, like to help spread the word about a different event, a cause, a social issue, whatever. I think that's a really cool system, and I've just been hearing more and more people talking about that. There's some term that describes the system of picking three for a year, and you don't have to stick with it forever. You can change it every year, kind of a thing.
One to volunteer towards, one to support financially, and one to sort of be an advocate for whenever you're out talking to people, I guess.
Exactly, yeah. So it's kind of a cool thing. It's probably not new. It's new to me, but it's probably not new. But I think it's really cool. Something that is new, and talk about very new, is the Dearborn Animal Shelter. They did their unofficial groundbreaking. You know, they've been working for years to try to get their new facility up and running, and they want construction to get moving. Well, on the 6th of September, they actually broke ground at the new location on 1600 block of Michigan Avenue. They've got to do some excavating of asphalt. They're prepping the foundation, and then they're going to build the new adoption center. They say it's going to be completed in about 1 year.
Okay.
And the official groundbreaking, the formal one for the public kind of a thing, is going to be planned for October 17th. They'll be a little bit farther along in making some physical changes, but they did the unofficial groundbreaking just last week, and the official one will be coming up next month. But
is that kind of where the old train station used to be, if I remember correctly?
I think it's in that, right in that
same
neighborhood.
Same general area.
Yep, I think
okay.
So. We used to volunteer with the Dearborn Animal Shelter as a radio station at WHFR. We would bring our volunteers in, and we would walk the dogs, and we did some live broadcasts there with Elaine Green and the group at the Animal Shelter at their old location. And just the greatest, wonderful, most wonderful people. Just they're doing so many wonderful things. You don't have to have a pet to appreciate what it is that they do, but it's really, really cool.
And I'm sure this will give them a little more space, maybe be able to be a little more up to date with some of their infrastructure and things that ultimately save money, like, you know, energy savings and stuff like that when you have a new construction based, as opposed to, you know, a relatively cramped old facility that they've been with for, you know, a while, if I remember correctly.
No doubt about it. Yeah, absolutely. We're looking forward to opportunities to support different causes here on our show, on the new WHFR Journal. We want to share opinion now and then, but also we just want to make sure that we're connecting you to things going on, and we hope to be able to continue to do that. I know that when it comes to opportunities with the Arab American National Museum, they always have something going on. There are so many exciting things, but this one really kind of struck me as most exciting. They're doing a masquerade ball, and I've never been to a masquerade ball. I see them on TV, and I know that they're really fun and exciting, and this time at the masquerade ball for the to fundraise for the museum, they're going to be incorporating the Weston Book Cadillac Hotel, which I've always thought was haunted. I don't know. I'm probably not, but that's just my thing. But I was so excited when I found out that that's where they were going to actually host this event to support what's going on here at the AANM. But they're going to have cuisine, of course, entertainment by a Syrian superstar, Elias Karam, and so much more. It's taking place on the 28th of October. So certainly if you want to talk more, just go to the ArabAmericanMuseum.org. And it's /gala 2017. But they rely on funds from our community to keep their education and advocacy going, as well as their physical facility right here in Dearborn. But that sounds really cool. I just struck my mind. How about you? What's going on over there?
Well, let's see. The Dearborn Allied War Veterans Council, they're accepting nominations for the 2018 Dearborn Veteran of the Year Award. Deadline for it is coming up pretty quick, about maybe 4 weeks or so. It's going to be October 5th. Thursday, October 5th is going to be the deadline for nominations for this award, which you can submit through the city's website at cityofdearborn.org. And somewhere on the website there, you'll see a link for Veteran of the Year. They've also got forms available online and at the city, the administrative center's front desk there at 16901 Michigan Avenue. It's going to be presented on Veterans Day, which of course will be coming up in November, right? November 11th, Veterans Day?
I think so.
To the Dearborn veteran judged to have made a significant contribution to the community and to the interests of veterans. Following criteria apply, they must be a Dearborn resident. Nominations can be made by Dearborn residents or Dearborn veterans organizations.
The nominees' community service work and work on behalf of veterans organizations must have been done only on a volunteer basis, so they're looking for people who volunteer and are active in the community. And they don't need to be an active member of a Dearborn Veterans organization, but at-large nominations have to have some sort of proof of their military service to be eligible for the award. There have been 35 Veterans of the Year ever since the organization, the DAWC, started doing this back in 1982. And Veterans of the Year are remembered at the Dearborn Administrative Center on an engraved wall plaque. And the award is going to be presented Saturday, November 11th, 11 o'clock at Edsel Ford High School. The public is welcome. And for more information, you can call 313-943-2285. And again, to nominate somebody who is a veteran who is active in the community, and obviously it means we obviously have a lot of people who are veterans of our most recent military campaigns. Mm-hmm. And obviously veterans' needs, especially for those who fought and were in service decades ago, continue to grow. So it's really important to see veterans volunteering and really volunteering in a variety of different ways in their community. So cityofdearborn.org, look for the link Veteran of the Year. Nominations need to be made by October 5th, and the award's going to be given out Veterans Day at a ceremony at Edsel Ford High School.
All right. Thank you very much. On the new WHFR Journal, I know one of the things that we have not done in the past, and our wonderful former host, Jay Kornick, not the biggest sports fan, let's put it that way, and that he was self-proclaimed not the biggest sports fan.
That's fine.
And
own
that's
it.
Cool. Yeah, that's right.
That
absolutely.
Go ahead and own it. Yep. That's fine.
We do have a couple of students on our radio station, though, that are interested in trying to do some local stuff, some local sports. And we're not talking Pistons, Red Wings, that kind of stuff, because everybody else does that. And mm-hmm. that's not what we do at WHFR. We are try to be unique, try to be more local, focused on our community at large. So we're talking about high school as well as some of the local college here at U of MD next door, some of the sports scores as well as upcoming games. And so on. So maybe this is something that you'd be interested in hearing. So we're thinking about doing a little, maybe 5-10 minute segment here and there, incorporating that. The goal of our radio station, of course, is to not only entertain but also inform our community of license, and that is the Dearborn community, but also to provide a forum for educating our students that want to learn more about this process. We've talked about this in recent shows. Mm-hmm. But it's a fine line. Sometimes it's a balance between how much growth we want to allow on the air and how much mistake making we can deal with versus making sure that we're putting out a quality, fresh product. So we know we have a couple of guys, Josh, one of them, one mm-hmm. of our current broadcast journalism students here on campus. And as he works towards creating a whole sports show, which we would air at a different time and day, we thought maybe we'd do a little springboard kind of a thing. So we'll see how it goes. But
well, I think people who know WHFR and who've been fans and listeners and supporters of the station over a number of years, I think to a certain extent they expect the things that they've always held near and dear about mm-hmm. WHFR, but I think that as we've talked about personally through the years, WHFR, even as an organization of relatively limited means, if you don't mind my saying so, has tried to sort of push the envelope and advance the cause of the central mission, which is serving the community with programming and things that it wouldn't find anywhere else. So
exactly. Well, that's the goal. I know when we talk about opportunities and new ideas and so on, want you to know that, in fact, we are open to your suggestion and your input, certainly. I'll just give you my telephone number. You hear it during the classical programming in case you're interested in supporting financially, doing some underwriting, whatever the case. But also know that we're always open to ideas for topics and formats and so on within the mission that Alan just conveyed, new, different, local alternative, whatever you want to call it. So directly, 313-845-9842, 313-845-9842. And that's my office phone number. One of the things that Jay did consistently was when it was an election time, he would bring on people that were running for political office locally, typically not the incumbent, because the incumbent already has sort of their own mouthpiece because they're already in office. But one of the opportunities is for new candidates, people running for the first time or for the first time in a new position to speak. So we know we're going to get some of that going on into October and do some of those discussions moving forward as well. So if you're interested in that opportunity, certainly use that same telephone number if you want. I know, Ellen, we only have a few minutes left, mm-hmm. but I have a, boy, I have an interesting story. This is sort of one of those ethical dilemmas that we're going to let the court system decide, and you might, if you get your local Dearborn Heights Time Herald, you might have read this story, but it just really struck me. This is, it took place right here in Dearborn. It was a local Dearborn restaurant, and I won't mention the chain, but a local Dearborn restaurant that a Muslim couple, went into and asked for their sandwiches to be made a certain way. The sandwiches were made the traditional way, so there was actually some bacon that we know in the Muslim faith is not appropriate to eat. The bacon that was supposed to be kept off the sandwich was actually accidentally left on the sandwich, and the couple ate it, not realizing, because they were told that it wasn't going to be there. Once they realized it, of course, they stopped and they went up and tried to, you know, complain and so on. And they felt that they weren't necessarily respected as well as they could have been. The management have basically indicated that it was an error, it was an accident, and so on. But the couple is basically saying, well, this goes against our entire core belief system, and we need something to be done about this, and so on and so forth. So, boy, this is one of those tough ethical dilemmas. I mean, yes, mistakes are made, but this mm-hmm. is pretty serious when it comes to someone's faith and what they believe in and what they want.
This is not simply, I don't like mustard.
That's exactly right. And I don't like mustard, but yeah.
This does cut a little bit deeper to it. We would assume that, you know, when we make those requests, and some people may just make those requests for a variety of reasons, mm-hmm. this adds certainly a deeper element to it in the fact that we're, you know, dealing with a pork product and, you know, being served by mistake or being consumed unknowingly, mm-hmm. but consumed nonetheless mm-hmm. by you know, a devout Muslim, I think couple it was, or
yes.
Customer or customers,
two,
yes.
Yeah, two people.
Yeah,
yeah, this is a tough one. In Islam, it is forbidden to eat pork. It is absolutely forbidden. And so according to a lawsuit that has been filed on behalf of the couple, they're seeking monetary damages due to what they're calling emotional and physical distress from eating the bacon. Mm-hmm. And so, again, this is, it's not for us to decide whether lawsuits are appropriate or frivolous or whatever. Certainly that's what the court system is for. But boy, I'm interested in seeing how this one's going to play out, because I don't know of anything quite exactly like this happening, at least certainly not in our own community. So see what happens.
We certainly shall, yes.
Yeah, interesting stuff. We have a variety of different radio programs on this very radio station, and the one preceding the new WHFR Journal is a show called Democracy Now! Mm-hmm. Alan, you are tied to that. You help us in many weeks actually
air, sure.
get it on the air.
Right.
And even before that, we have our 10 a.m. to noon show on Fridays, which is a wonderful big band show with our own Joe Sullivan. So if you usually tune in at 1 o'clock, maybe jump in a little bit sooner and check out that noon show and then come even earlier and start listening at 10, and you'll hear some really cool big band programming. But coming up after this, the new WHFR Journal. Boy, if you like the blues, this is one of our blues shows that will not disappoint. Kitty Love and her fantastic Highway 61 blues show. But that's what we do at WHFR. If you want to learn more about our programming, go to our website, whfr.fm. You can actually listen online through that very same site, or you can certainly listen as you perhaps are right now on the FM radio dial, 89.3 FM. Alan, it's going to be a beautiful weekend. I hope you've got some great things going on outside, preferably.
Well, this evening, homecoming football game over at Divine Child. My son's the kicker on the team. Mm-hmm. We'll be in the stands cheering him on tonight, and then a couple of soccer games I'll be officiating over the course of the weekend. So I'll get plenty of time outdoors, which
nice.
Is, you know, use it while it's here, because
yeah.
It's going to be January and February. I don't want to say before you know it. At least, I hope it lasts a little longer.
Yeah, you and me both. We have, again, so much going on our campus. Please check out our website, hfcc.edu, for so much to offer, as well as opportunities to experience things like the Sisson Gallery that Steve Glazer and Emma Jean.
And don't forget, Steve's going to be there tomorrow morning, I think he said. So just
that's
FYI,
right.
The exhibit we talked to earlier in the hour about Tag Your It, Outside Art Moves In at the Sisson Gallery. Should be open tomorrow morning, is what Steve said.
Perfect. Yeah, I think he said 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., and then the reception again Monday between 4:30 and 7. The gallery is located in the very back of our campus, Building F, the Fine Arts Building, right in the center of the building. I think we're going to wrap it up. It's been an interesting show, and I thank you, Alan, as always, for your time and support and your presence here in helping make this happen and keeping the show alive, and we're very excited about opportunities moving forward as well. So we thank you for listening. We hope you'll stay tuned for more right here on WHFR Dearborn, the station that is making waves. This and much more coming your way, so stay with us.
Classical is your genre, WHFR is the place to be in the late night hours until 10 a.m. 7 days a week. From Beethoven and Mozart to Bach and Brahms, let it lull you to sleep at night and wake you up in the morning. Or for you night owls, enjoy the soothing sounds of classical music all night long. 89.3 FM or WHFR.FM on your computer. Make WHFR the station for classical.
Mom and Dad used to argue about everything, especially about Dad's drinking. My family went from totally crazy to quiet, calm, and even peaceful when Mom started going to Al-Anon family groups. I wanted a better relationship with Dad, so I asked Mom if she would take me to her Al-Anon meetings or to Al-Ateen. I'm sure glad I did. If someone's drinking troubling you, you might be surprised at what you can learn in an Al-Anon or Al-Ateen family group from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-ALANON or go to alanon.org. Clarksdale, South.